I'm Sam Fuqua. Coming up after headlines, we talk with a Colorado union leader about the federal minimum wage bill, the Biden stimulus plan, and why unions are putting pressure on Senator John Hickenlooper to support these proposals. Also, the effort to bring more diversity to boards and commissions in Boulder County and how training can help. Food writer John Lendorf with Radio Nibbles also this half hour. And after the BBC headlines at 8:30, it's our quarterly series on death and dying. Today, a discussion about coping skills, advice on how to cope with grief and with loss. As always, our day of eclectic music starts at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. It's all still ahead. It's all made possible by the listener members of KGNU. Thank you, members. In state and local news, Colorado health officials are sounding the alarm on contamination in the South Platte River. E. coli bacteria levels are up to 137 times higher than the federal safety limit, according to the Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment. State officials sampled water at various points as the river flows through Denver. The fecal bacteria comes from multiple sources and gets into the river through the storm sewer system. Rain and melting snow increases the volume of E. coli going through the sewers into the river. To get the bacteria levels down, the state is using its permitting process to push Denver to invest in stricter controls for treating wastewater. But the Denver Post reports that the city says the new requirements are too expensive to implement. Denver may sue the state, but right now the two parties are trying to reach a compromise. A large mixed-income residential development in East Boulder is one step closer to approval. Steve Miller reports.
Shutkin Sustainable Living, the developers for the proposed 317-unit mixed-income residential development, crossed off another barrier on its list toward building the site. The Daily Camera reports that there will be a public hearing today with the Boulder Planning Board to see if the project will clear site review and use review. The site is located on Arapahoe Avenue near Cherryvale Road in East Boulder. The site was affected by the 2013 floods and was within the 100-year floodplain. It took 2 years to reduce flood hazards on the property to bring it into compliance for FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency. The 15-acre Waterview project will include 80 deed-restricted affordable units and 15,000 square feet of commercial space across 10 buildings. Units will range from studios to three bedrooms and will have affordable units and market-rate units mixed in the same buildings and on the same floors. If approved by the Planning Board, Waterview will undergo technical document review before applying for building permits. Shutkin Sustainable Living are hoping to apply for permits by this fall and break ground early next year. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Boulder County is seeing lower numbers of COVID cases and hospitalizations, but don't expect the county to further relax restrictions anytime soon. Numbers are not low enough to move to what the state calls level blue, which would allow businesses to increase capacity and bars to serve alcohol until midnight. Governor Jared Polis told the Daily Camera Wednesday that he has no plans to get rid of the statewide mask order. And while he's encouraged by the lower case numbers and the vaccination rates, Polis says the data still does not support a return to pre-pandemic conditions for businesses and social interactions. National Weather Service forecasting snow showers this morning, turning to rain later with highs in the mid-40s, although I'm looking out the window of the studios in East Central Boulder and I don't see anything coming down, so maybe that's scattered snow showers this morning, turning to rain later, highs in the mid-40s. Clear skies this evening with overnight lows in the 30s. Sunny and warmer tomorrow. Temperatures should be in the mid-50s on Friday. It's 10 minutes after 8. This is listener-supported KGNU. Union members gathered outside Senator John Hickenlooper's Denver office Tuesday. They want Hickenlooper to support the Biden administration's COVID relief proposal and a federal bill to set a $15 an hour minimum wage nationwide. That legislation is already supported by all the other Democrats in Colorado's congressional delegation. We spoke with Skip Miller. He's a state employee, works at the School of Mines. He's also president of Colorado WINS, the union that represents 28,000 state employees.
Well, we just wanted Senator Hickenlooper to realize that, you know, just working people across this country, we need the COVID-19 relief, and we've also needing the $15 an hour wage that was part of the package. And we just want Congress to hear us. We want them to hear us loud and clear. Our message is respect us, protect us, and pay us.
Paint a picture for us of who the folks are who are in the union and who would benefit most from an increase to the $15 an hour minimum wage.
With Colorado WINS, since we represent 28,000 state employees, we have a direct impact on our working lives and also on the people that we service. I mean, we service the people of the state of Colorado. And if we don't have the funding to employ people or to provide those services, it impacts them. The same thing with our parent unions, our AFT, primarily teachers, and also SEIU, which are generally lower wage workers. So that's where that $15 an hour comes in. You know, that's something that's really needed.
So the state employee union, Colorado WINS, would really benefit from the relief money to keep the functions of state government going. And then workers in, say, the Service Employees International Union, for example, are the ones who make the lower wages and would benefit from the minimum wage increase.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's overlap between those two positions because we've got some workers within the state who also would fall into that category where that increase in wages would benefit them. And, you know, the other thing too, Sam, is in a lot of the counties in Colorado, the state employment is a major source of funding for jobs and their economy. So that's also a side benefit.
In the city and county of Denver, the minimum wage is very close to 15. It went up to $14.77 an hour at the first of the year. Colorado's mm-hmm. now statewide, it's, I think, $12.30 an hour. Is that right?
Yes. It is as of January 1st.
And Senator Hickenlooper, if I understand his position correctly, he has said he would support phasing that in and also making it in part because different areas of the state and country have different costs of living. What do you say to that argument?
Well, you know, the argument about phasing it in is it was phased in the proposal. So that, I mean, we understand that. But to counter the other argument, let's think about when the last time the minimum wage, the federal minimum wage was raised. It was 2009. There is nothing that's the same cost as it was in 2009. And so workers have fallen farther and farther behind. So we're really playing catch up on this. And it's been an issue. It's been an issue for a while. And this pandemic has just surfaced it. It's brought it to the front. And so all of a sudden now we've got these workers who are deemed essential who weren't before the pandemic. And now we're just looking to make sure that they get paid for their essential services. For state employees, we have Department of Corrections. So we have DOC officers. We have people that are in health care, in mental health care. We have CDOT. We have all of these employees who are really in jobs that are critical for safety, for the health of citizens. And yes, they are essential. And they always have been essential. But now we are at the point where we are understaffed. And we were understaffed even before the pandemic. And it's really going to be important now that these people who are coming back, to work, we want to make sure that they're safe when they come back. And we want to make sure they have the resources they need to provide the services to the citizens of Colorado. We have not had direct conversation with him, but we just want to remind him of what we talked about when he was running for the office. And he did signal that he was with us on these issues, and we want to remind him of that. And this was, you know, even before the pandemic. So now it's even more important that he realized he needs to fight for that. We need to, and we will stand with him, but he needs to push through on this one.
Do you see a connection between equity and the minimum wage? And how would you explain that?
The other issue that this pandemic has surfaced is the issue around equity and race. So we have a lot of communities that have been impacted by the pandemic, and they were already vulnerable. Now they're even more vulnerable. And a lot of those people, Black and brown people, are filling these lower wage jobs. And so this has brought on really a crisis. So we need to do something for these people for a change. This may be, if there is such thing as a silver lining to this, this may be it. And that we realize that we do need to address these inequities in our society.
People of color are disproportionately suffering from COVID, and they're also a disproportionate relative to their percentage in the population, number of frontline workers who work in the service mm-hmm. sectors.
Yeah, it's a perfect tsunami of a lack of care, health care, mental health care. You know, it's really hard for a lot of people who don't have the resources in order to even afford the health care. So they're vulnerable.
Skip Miller is president of Colorado Winds, the union that represents 28,000 state employees in Colorado. It's 18 minutes after 8. You're in tune with listener-supported KGNU. People Engaged in Raising Leaders, or PERL, is a program that prepares Boulder County residents to serve on the many volunteer boards and commissions in the county. The goal is to address the chronic problem of underrepresentation of people of color. PERL is hosting an upcoming training, and we spoke with the program's coordinator in Boulder County, Belinda Hearn.
We are offering this training because we want to get people in the community engaged in leadership. We want to get them engaged in boards, and we want to get them engaged in commissions and being a part of organizations that historically have not included the actual people in the community in which they seek to serve.
Who typically does serve on boards and commissions in Boulder County? Is there a typical member of a board or commission?
I would definitely say that historically they are not going to be those that are disenfranchised or at certain economic, social poverty levels as the people that we seek to get engaged and involved with PERL and boards and commissions training. We seek to get that group that is untapped, that resource, that asset in the community, that actually lives in the community, they work in the community, and they know what they need, but they have not been the placemakers or the table setters for the resources and things that they need by serving on boards and being in the community.
What do you think holds people back? What are the barriers?
I think somehow, I always say this, there is like a mystification of serving on a board or serving on a committee or being involved in making change. And I think sometimes people just don't realize the strength and the power that their voice holds. And I think that they associate title and economics as that counts me out. So I may, for instance, have someone who says, okay, I make $35,000 a year, and who's going to listen to my voice in this community when their voice is really the one that we need to hear? How can we get them involved? And I think that's by giving them support, working in solidarity along with them to just show them the leadership they have within themselves and let them know that we need them on boards. We need them serving. We need them involved in the community. And they are definitely our biggest asset. And I think more boards need to realize that and understand that.
In addition to those issues, it's a time commitment. And I know this from my own volunteering that sometimes we think, well, I just don't have time for that. How do you convince people to give their time?
It has to be a value to that person. And they have to understand they're not just giving their time, they're giving their input. By them showing up, it presses other powers that be in our community to see that there are assets in the community that want to be heard. And them taking their time to get this information, to partner together with organizations in Boulder County to get the word out, it shows also boards, it shows commissions, it shows other organizations in the community that they are serious about giving their time and being involved in making change, and they get to put their hands into it and be a part of it.
Can you give us some examples of boards and commissions that are open and are looking for people to serve?
Absolutely. Let me tell you, usually what I do is I get emails from organizations that are looking for boards to serve. Boulder County always offers information on the Boulder County website that someone can go to and just put in Boulder County boards, and they should be able to pull out who's definitely recruiting at this time.
Tell us about PEARL, People Engaged in Raising Leaders.
Absolutely. What can I tell you? PEARL is a great program that really, really seeks to engage the community and to touch people that are low income or by the national or federal level in poverty. We want them to know that they have a voice. They want them to know that we want to work in collaboration to help them get the tools that they need. When we say people that live below that poverty line, we are talking about going in and giving them training, giving them hands-on experience, and putting them in the room with board members around the county that they can take that mystification that I talked about, right, a little bit early away from it, and for them to know they don't have to have these titles and they don't have to have these monetary numbers behind their name in order to make a difference in their community. So we look to engage people in the community that want to just be on fire to get things done, to change the way progress and policies have been done for so long. We want them to be that voice. We also go in with PEARL and we talk to boards, nonprofit and for profit. We do something called community connections where we talk to them about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And in doing that, we hope to help them understand why it's not just important to be aware of diversity and equity and inclusion, but also why it's important to, once you get that person serving on your board, how do you build that bridge to keep that relationship going? How do you change and do some power exchange to ensure we're not tokenizing those roles, but we're actually being inclusive with our assets and our valuables in the community, which are the community people and the community voices, to have them serve and engage?
Belinda Hearn is the coordinator of the PEARL program in Boulder County, People Engaged in Raising Leaders, and we have information on their upcoming training on our website, kgnu.org.
Everybody eats when they come to my house.
Time for Radio Nibbles. John Lendorf with us from his kitchen in Louisville. And John, this week we wanted to give people some substitutes, right? Sometimes you're cooking or you're about to cook and you realize, I don't have this thing. A common one for me is when I want to make biscuits, say, and I don't have buttermilk. I never have buttermilk, but I know that a little bit of lemon juice in milk is a good buttermilk substitute.
It is. You can also thin out Greek yogurt or something like that and maybe add a little vinegar to it. But yeah, that's an excellent example. And that works, you know, just about as well as buttermilk. As you know, a lot more people are doing more cooking, and you get these recipes and they're very specific about what they want you to put in there. And the reality is that there's a lot of, you can substitute pretty freely and can still come up with something great.
Here's another one. If I need stock for soup or a stew or something, I don't have stock.
or broth, you know, and that canned stuff is terrible anyway. If you, you know, don't want to make some broth, you know, simmer a chicken or whatever, in a lot of cases, you can substitute water, obviously. But also, that's a good place to use, you know, the last inch of white wine that you didn't drink, or a little bit of beer. As always, you know, you need to adjust it to taste. The other thing you can use is the liquid left over from canned vegetables. Any of those work really well, especially in a soup. They tend to thicken it and give it some extra flavor.
You know, shallots, I love shallots, but, you know, don't keep them around. But I know onions or scallions will work, even garlic, right?
Yeah. Shallots are this cross between like green onion but there's a little hint of garlic. One thing that's very close to it is the bulb of a leek, which you can saute just like shallots, and it gets soft and has a great flavor to it.
What about if you get a request or your recipe calls for an esoteric bean, like a fava bean? Never have those.
Right, or cranberry beans or whatever. And you know what? You can substitute anything. If you want that particular kind of character, the one thing I really like is look for canned butter beans. They're really big beans, and they're soft and creamy, very much like a fava bean. But, you know, if you want them whole, you can always substitute lima beans or edamame. Frozen is fine.
Lots of ways to substitute. Well, let's check some food news. We want to wish a happy 40th anniversary to Community Food Share, 40 years of helping feed our neighbors in need. That is an anniversary to both celebrate the fact that we have them, but also to, I think, reflect on.
Yeah. I mean, I was working at the Daily Camera when Community Food Share started. There was a dire need then, but I don't think we ever imagined that 40 years later, there would be an even more dire need. Community Food Share is still doing the big work of feeding Boulder and Broomfield County. And the other thing I wanted to mention was that our friends at Snarf Sandwiches in Boulder have introduced a musical sandwich. It's called the Ratliff Sandwich, named after Nathaniel Ratliff, the musician. Turkey, Swiss, bacon, all sorts of other stuff. But 25% of the sales of the Ratliff through the end of March go to hunger organizations in Colorado, Texas, and Missouri.
And I noticed the Nathaniel Ratliff sandwich has extra bacon.
So. and extra hot peppers.
Insight into Mr. Ratliff's appetite. Excellent.
And hey, Sam, what's the best thing you've tasted lately?
I was making a pie for Valentine's Day, which is also our wedding anniversary, and my wife Amy requested this caramel chocolate hazelnut pie, and I messed up the caramel. Caramel is tricky to make. You're dissolving sugar in hot water, and at some point it went too far and it crystallized. So I don't know what I did wrong there, John, but I ended up with this kind of crystallized butter and sugar mix that I mixed in with the hazelnut and the cream, and it was still delicious, but it didn't become caramel, and I'm not sure what went wrong.
When you're making caramel, is that's when you cross over from, you know, art into science, and you really need to have a candy thermometer. I mean, what you essentially made was brittle. I bet it tasted good. Crunchy little sweet bits in there.
It was yummy, but it wasn't caramel.
No. And so it's this careful stirring over heat and then checking the temperature and then getting it off and cooling it down. But once you get the knack of it, it's wonderful stuff to be able to make. And it's, of course, highly yummy.
Well, you can listen to Radio Nibbles past episodes at the KGNU.org news site. And John's food writing is at his WordPress site. It's johnlendorf.wordpress.com. And I'll see you next week for a live supersize edition during KGNU's spring membership drive.
I will see you there. Thanks.
Everybody eats when they come to my house. I fix your favorite dishes.